Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to take a minute to magnify the Lord and bless Him. Let's thank Him for the opportunity to listen to the Word of God. Let's go ahead and bless Him. Let's go ahead and give Him praise. Give Him glory and honor and magnify Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him for an opportunity like this. Every time we are able to hear His Word, it's something we should be grateful for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and bless the Lord. Go ahead and bless the Lord in 1 minute. As you begin to hear the word of God, go ahead and begin to bless Him. The right attitude to receiving God's word is the spirit of gratitude. The right attitude to receive God's word is the spirit of gratitude. Let's go ahead and bless Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute if you can, and begin to bless the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. In the name of Jesus. I want us to pray for everyone who is going to be in this meeting tonight, and let's thank God for them and receive their hearts in this service. Wherever people are going to be connecting from, let's ask that this word will bring profit. Listen to me. Our Lord Jesus established that no matter who you are, the word of God will not have the same effect in your life the way it will in the lives of other people. Everything comes down to the texture and the flexibility, the texture, the context, the strength of the soil. So we are preparing the soil by prayers and by thanksgiving. So I want you to do this very seriously. I want you to do this very seriously. We thank you, Father. And we give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, you're welcome in Jesus' name. And today is, that's the 15th. Today is the 15th, and this is the day the Lord has made. I'm sure some of us have had a very hectic day. I have had a bit too. So, we're going to get straight into the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Egin taught us, Papa Egin taught us, he said, when you come for the word, just sing a song or two and go straight into the business of the day. You don't need to sing a lot of songs. When you come to hear the word, just get right down to it. So this evening, I want to share with us very briefly a very simple message, a message some of us already know. And I've titled that message, How to Align and Profit in Your Assignment. How to Align and Profit in your assignment. So we are live on YouTube, we are live on Facebook, we are live here on Zoom and on Mixlr. So please feel free to go to Facebook and share this broadcast, you know, as many times as possible. It's not really for my face, and we just want to get the word of God out there. Praise God. Now I am coming into this message on a particular premise. That premise is that if you are listening to me now, you know that you have a God-given assignment. You have a God-given destiny. You have a God-given purpose. So this is not a message about what can you do best. No. You can do many things. In fact, many of you, the best things you can do are not godly things. So it's not really about what can you do best. You can do whatever you like. Just listen to this message before you do the next thing. Okay, so many people are very skillful in unrighteousness. Okay, their mind is always very quick when it has to do with sin. But when it has to do with the word of God, it becomes dull. You see? So please, this is not really about, it's not that kind of message. Just please stay with me. Because the moment some people heard prophet, they think it's a business seminar. And there's nothing wrong with a business seminar, but this is just the word of God. Okay, so when you, the bias I bring into this message today is that you are listening to me today and you have a sense of destiny. You have a sense of purpose in your life. You believe God has placed a divine mandate over your life. So this message is for you. And if you are not also sure, this message is also for you because you are going to need it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the scripture tells us, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay? But the scripture also says in the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'm going to read that to you. It's already on your screen. It said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, the people that God is talking about here are not unbelievers. Even though God already said to us in his word, that he had given us power over snakes and scorpions. Even though God already said to us that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Even though God already said to us in Mark chapter 16 that we should lay hands upon the sick, cast out devils, speak in new tongues, God made something very clear. You cannot operate in the realm of power above your level of knowledge. To operate in the realms of power above your knowledge puts that person at a serious risk. Look at the word of God again. God says that my people can be destroyed. Say they are destroyed. They are destroyed because of what? He said because they lack knowledge. For lack of knowledge, that means what you don't know can kill you. This is the Holy Spirit talking here. He said what you don't know can kill you. No matter your anointing, no matter how many angels you saw. You see, when I was working the bank, if you make a mistake, or maybe you process a transaction that cost the bank money, you know, the bank lost money, nobody is going to ask, oh, when did she join the bank? Nobody is going to ask, oh, how old is she? What they are going to ask is probably something that has to do with, are you a full staff? How long have you been here? Is she experienced? They know what they are going to do. They are going to give you the boot. Depending on the crime or the error committed, somebody is going to pay. So, what am I telling you this? The issue of ignorance is not bliss. Somebody said ignorance is bliss. It's not bliss. Look at what God said here. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Satan always takes advantage of your ignorance. It doesn't matter because there are people who are in church, but their minds are not there. There are people who come for meetings. There are people who like to join the prayer team of the church because they don't like the word of God. Please know this today. There are two people that take advantage of your ignorance or that have capacity to take advantage of your ignorance. And top on that list is Satan. But look at what that scripture says in Hosea chapter 5 verse 6. God says, because you rejected knowledge. Please excuse me. This knowledge is not knowledge on how to fly a jet. This is knowledge about your destiny. This is knowledge about the will of God. God says, I cannot use a man that does not honor the place of knowledge. Somebody who doesn't have a passion to know things. So you don't have a drive. You just want to watch Asian films. God is saying, look. I know you've been praying and you say, oh God, if you could use me. And God is saying, look, I want to get involved in your life. But there is a way I think. That's what God is saying. And if you don't find how I operate, which rests directly on knowledge, God says, I will reject you. Look at that scripture again. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. And you will no more be a priest to me. Look, this thing also affects whether you're a pastor or not. Look how God is saying. God is saying he will not exempt any pastor who is ignorant. That's what that scripture says. He said, I will also reject you and you will not be a priest to me because you have forgotten the law of thy God. Now, there are two things here. One is that you don't have the knowledge. The other one is that you are forgotten. There are those who forget. There are those who think that, oh, because they've gotten to a particular level, the rules don't apply to them anymore. God says, look, if you fall into the category of these two people, those who lack the knowledge of God's word, those who lack the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God, what did God say will do to them? He said, if you lack knowledge, he said, you'll be destroyed. But if you forget the law, you will be rejected. He said, I will reject you. So, to be rejected means you've once been accepted. And this is a serious matter, and I want us to consider it. Because I don't want us to be that generation that just have this kind of emotional attachment to God. You must understand the way the kingdom of God works. And this is very, very important. So I hope somebody is writing and I hope somebody is listening right now. This is serious stuff here. This is serious stuff. Okay, those who lack knowledge of God's word, he said they'll be destroyed. It's not because God just wants to destroy. It's a law. There's no vacuum in the spirit. There's no vacuum in the spirit. God says, look, if you are not aligning with divine knowledge, that person will be destroyed and you are open to destruction. But when you forget the law of God, there are people, when they get emotionally high, they forget that the Bible actually said some things. There are people that somebody gives them 100 million now, or 5 million, or 10 million, they forget all of a sudden that there's something called tithe. If it's a small tithe, it belongs to God. If it's a big tithe, it belongs to their pocket. I'm just trying to lay this foundation before I get into my message, because the issue that was actually being raised and discussed here was addressed actually to priests, people who have been called, people who have a sense of assignment, people who have a sense of destiny, people who have heard the voice of God, people who have an assignment. And Revelation chapter 5 tells us that we have been called as kings and we have been called as priests. If you are listening to me now, that is your ordination. Praise God. Praise God. I hope those that are on Mixel are hearing me clearly. If you are, please just type something so that I don't want to miss out on any. I don't want to miss anyone out here. Now, let me read another scripture to you from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. Look at what the word of God says. Look at what the word of God says here. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So a person may commit a particular infraction. A person may do something that is wrong. A person may be rude to her husband. A person may be, you know, nasty to his wife. The scripture says God is a God of knowledge. So when God is looking at that situation, God is not saying, oh, who did it first? God is weighing the intentions of the heart, is weighing the actions. That's why when God shows up in any matter, he doesn't support any of them. He doesn't support it. He just comes with his own opinion. That's why it takes a level of humility to be married. It takes a level of humility to stay married. Because when you get married, that is when you will know who you married. Every other thing the guy was doing before that day was campaigning. So if you are engaged to somebody who is a terrible person, you are blessed. Because at least he's showing you his true color now. And if you are married to a potential terrible wife and she's letting you know now, you are also blessed because you've seen it. But if you get married and then you find out that you are already stuck, getting out is not that easy. Whether in court, if you go to court, it's probably going to take you at least a year. And even before God, it's a separate matter. So why are we saying these things today? Knowledge is very, very important. I'm going to read a series of scriptures from John chapter 4 from verse 1. And I'm going to explain it in line with how to align and profit in your assignment. So I'm going to read John chapter 4 and from verse 1, but just stay with me. So I want us to take this thing seriously. I have to be honest with you, I've met people, I've known them, some of them were my friends, some of them were old school mates. People that seemed to have an advantage in their relationship with God. But at some point, they couldn't sustain it. And many of them, for me, were people who operated in the power ministry, what we know as the power ministry, the anointing. They were very anointed. They were people who I dreamt of being like. But they could not sustain it. Because you see, the anointing is something God gives to you. But you see, your knowledge of God, you have to invest in it. Your knowledge of God, you will read Bible. You will read Bible. You will read and read and read and read. If you don't read, how do you even know what is wrong? For instance, let me give you an example. Because you have to take this thing. For instance, there's a particular popular translation. It's called the Passion Translation. That particular translation, a lot of people have it, but I don't recommend it. Okay? I don't recommend it as a translation to anyone. There are some terrible errors in that translation. That translation was written by one man. The King James Bible and every other translation that is popularly accepted, like Amplified, there's a committee that sits to write it. Okay? But the Passion Translation was written by one man who said he saw an angel, and the angel's name was Passion. From that point alone, I know there's a problem. There's a problem with that translation. Okay? So you guys need to do research. Because if the devil is trying to put error in your midst, how do you know? A lot of you have that translation on your phones. But I'm here telling you that translation does not qualify. So you have to do your research. Some of these things we actually go extra mile. You know, because I'm online now and I'm making very bold statements. I'm making very bold statements. So when you want to profit in your destiny, you cannot research at the level others are researching in. In order to align in your destiny, first of all, the first point is that you must have a vision for your life. Or you must have found God's vision, God's reason for bringing you to this world. And an average Christian can actually not boast of this, as simple as it is. Come on, if you are hearing me, please say something. I said, finding God's vision for your life. As simple as that statement is, an average Christian cannot say, this is what I understand that God wants me to do now. Now, if there is no clarity, in terms of what God will require from you, then what is the essence of power? Because God allocates power based on assignment. I don't know if somebody is hearing me now. I say God allocates power based on assignment. So if you don't understand God's vision, God's intention for you, God's vision for your life, and if you've not found it, you cannot align it. You have to find it to align it. So the first thing, you have to find your vision. The second thing you have to do to align in your destiny, in your assignment, you know, I've not talked about profiting yet. I'm talking about aligning. The first is that you have to find and discover your vision. The second is that you have to understand that vision. You have to understand that vision. I know people who have changed their vision for their lives like with every rain that fell. So if something was trending, they changed it. They say that's their new vision now. They say their vision is to write books. Then later they change and say their vision is to do Facebook Live. Then they change later and say their vision is to sing. God's vision for your life has been thought about. It has been pre-planned. The heavens have approved it. It doesn't change with trends. That is why the Bible did not change. Despite civilizations and technology, the Bible is still the Bible. You just have to open it and read. Okay? So you have to understand that what many people call vision is just the way they want to reach out to the world. Your technology can change, your tools can change, your method can change, but the message cannot change. So it's one thing for you to discover the vision, it's another thing for you to understand it. When you understand it, what happens automatically is you know what you can do and what you cannot do. I'm talking to you about how to align your vision here. And this is very, very important. How to align your vision. You've got to discover your vision. Number two, you've got to understand it. So I will leave it at that. Because I will go ahead and tell you that you have to pursue it. There is no vision that God gives to a man that is a part-time vision. There might be faces, different faces of that vision. I don't know. Is somebody feeling me this afternoon? If you are feeling me, just type something, because I really just want to talk this afternoon. I don't want to sound like a prophet. I want to sound like a pastor. Because people are making decisions with every wind of doctrine. If somebody just comes now and says, this is what is trending now. And people just begin to do things. You are almost too scared to ask them, what did God say about it? People are changing their goals and visions and aspirations for life just because something seems to be a trend. And people are jumping on that wagon. I could give a lot of examples, but I don't want anybody to feel I'm firing shots at them, but it's not really my business. I'm just saying that when God sees you on the day you come back to heaven or wherever it is you decide to meet him, when God sees you, he's only going to have a conversation with you based on what he has revealed to you. So we are talking about profiting from the assignment, but do you even understand how serious and how important this assignment is? This is very, very important. And I wish somebody would write and probably think about this thing and don't join. See, let me tell you something, and I wrote it in my note. Anything that is trending can never be the will of God. Please, I want you to write that down. Anything that is trending can never be the will of God. Because Jesus, our Lord Jesus, taught us. He said, broad is the way. Our Lord Jesus taught us. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. So anything that is trending, maybe the way people dress, the way people talk, the way people, you know, blink their eyes, the way people want to do stuff, buy a particular card, Once there's any particular thing that trends, please remove God out of it. It's not there. You may not agree with me, but we can confirm when we see him. Now, let's go into how to profit. The first thing I want to say to you is that God expects you to profit. When the Lord Jesus, in that parable, gave talents to his disciples, he told them to occupy till I come. God said, occupy till I come. So please, the first thing I also want to say here, or another point here, is that when God gives you a gift, like maybe you have this ability to sing, you have this ability to teach, you have this ability to preach, those are the conversations God will have with you when he sees you. There are people that are waiting for opportunity. Maybe the pastor will call them to say, come and sing. You are wasting your time. There are people that are waiting for... The way to the podium is service. If you are not willing to be part of what you have seen and submit yourself to it, forget about it. I remember somebody came once, I was asking her, I would like to sing a special number. And I said, no. I said, no, we are not raising superstars here. We are raising sons and daughters. For you to have a special number, you probably have to be a son and daughter in the house. We are not raising people who want to blow. You know, for those of you listening outside Nigeria, that means you want to hammer. Again, you won't understand those two, so forget about it. So, in Nigeria, we have our own, what do you call those things now? You know, we have our own way of communicating. So, whatever your ability is, you have to submit it for service. For even God to be able to do anything with it. And God will not come down, so he will require you. Yes, we have our own slang, thank you. You know, God will not come down and tell you, go and meet Tobechukwu and submit your gift to her. No, he will just be watching you. It's what you now do with that thing you have that he will now begin to bless. So if you cannot serve, you cannot lead. And if you cannot serve, God cannot commit great things to you. Even though God already told Elijah to anoint Elisha, yet Elisha was required to serve. Some of you belong to several churches, some of you belong, and you are probably waiting for somebody to discover the gift. My brother, my sister, for any discovery to be made, it must be submitted for service. So let me read John chapter 4, verse 1, and then I will begin to talk to you. Let's look at John chapter 4. This is the story about the woman by the well. I believe so. So let's look at verse 1. Now, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus upon the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone into the city. Now, let's stop there. This will not make sense to you until I start. But I want to bring out certain principles here about profiting in your assignment. Now from verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew.
how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Please stay with me here. Now, there are so many reasons why people may not profit from their assignment. There are so many reasons, which may not include the devil, why many are not able to bring forth fruit of 30, 60, and 100 as required by the Lord. And one of these reasons is because, I'm talking about profiting now, is that many believers do not know that whatever God has committed into your hands will attract enemies. Look at that verse again. The Lord, now therefore, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, the Pharisees made themselves useful or useless. Every time it had to do with Jesus, they always became antagonistic. He said the Lord knew. That means they went ahead of Jesus to be planning. This listen, your assignment will attract enemies. The kind of attacks that you attract will let you know the kind of impact you are making. I don't know if somebody's with me now. The kind of attacks that you attract as a believer. Because some of you don't know why the devil is on your matter. I'm trying to explain to you now. It is because of the grace of God that is over your life. So that's verse 1. You will always have attacks. Watch out for the Pharisees and the Sadducees that the enemy will put in your way. They turn themselves to monitoring spirit. They are always around you. Every time you want to do something significant, you find these guys there. Now, for you not to want attacks, it's like telling God, I'm not the man for the job. And believe me, even if you work for Satan, there will be attacks. Because Jamaica will come after you, Jagrebe will come after you, Pastor Benga will come after you, Pastor Ego will come after you. Everybody in heaven will come after you. I mean, just imagine the host of heaven against one person. So you better just be on the side of God. Let's know that we all have the same enemy. But this issue of you getting discouraged, despair, wanting to give up, simply because people go about maligning your character, saying evil against you. People smile with you in the office, and they go back and say stuff about you. And God is saying, look, it is part of the package. Please tell your friend, if you have a friend, that's part of the package. Can you imagine? The Pharisees, when Jesus was coming to earth, they told him to go and die. They didn't tell him about the Pharisees. The Pharisees just made themselves useful when it had to do with Jesus. So the first thing about profiting is to make provision for spiritual attacks. Make provision for emotional attacks. Make provision for financial attacks. Make provision for everything that we try to question the plan of God for your life. Number two. Look, the scripture says in that same verse that when the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Listen to me. The Lord sometimes will allow you to observe many things that are being said about you. The Lord will allow you to observe when they are talking against you, when they are saying evil things, when they are maligning your character, when they are trying to tell you are not anointed, when they are trying to tell you are not chosen, when they are trying to tell you that you cannot amount to anything. I mean, look at God's servant, Paul Yonggi Cho, that went to be with the Lord. If Yonggi Cho told himself, oh, the gospel does not, South Korea is not a Christian nation, let me just do the little I can do. And then he dies and goes to heaven. And God told him, I gave you an anointing to pastor the largest single church in the world. Now, excuse me. How do you expect Yonggi Cho to feel at 80 when he gets to heaven and they said, what we wrote about you is that you pastor the single largest church. But Yonggi Cho decided to find himself a bunch of lazy drones. People who just believe it is what it is. It is what it is. Whatever will be, will be. In the kingdom, we don't operate by such satanic principles. I'm telling you, there are people that God has written great things about them, but you will never know. One of the ways you will begin to get indications of the greatness in your destiny is by the level of your desires. God will be putting some very powerful desires in your spirit. He will be putting very powerful desires in your soul. Come on now. God will be putting very powerful stuff in you. The way the creative ability that will be flowing on the inside of you will be massive. Very massive. And listen to me. There will be attacks. And God wants you to prepare for them. You will never be good enough for everybody. You will never be good enough for everybody. That's why Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, putting your eyes upon Jesus. He is the same, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he said. Because no matter what you do, you will never be enough for some people. So the best thing is for you to find your assignment, make provision for your detractor. Jesus never sent them away from his services. He allowed them to stay there, but he never allowed them distracting. So I'll give you 2 points now. Number one, your assignment will attract enemies. I'm talking about how to profit. So if you know that your assignment will attract enemies, you don't need to waste your time with them. Number two is that the Lord will sometimes allow you hear what people are saying about you, and we still require you to love them. Don't even, they even tell you, don't bother answering them. Now, number three is that you must understand that your enemies will not always get their facts right. Your enemies will not always get their facts right. Look at verse 2 of John chapter 4. The scripture said the rumors the Pharisees were peddling was that Jesus was baptizing more than John. But look at what verse 2 says. It says, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. What am I saying to you here? Point 3 is that your enemies won't always get their facts right. Never believe 70% of what you read. People just specialize in saying what they don't know. They have been doing this since the days of Jesus. Don't you read something in the papers, my brother, I am telling you now, don't believe it. In fact, for you to believe anything, wait 2 weeks. If you're in Nigeria, wait 3 years. If you're in Nigeria, just wait till the next tenure before we know who is stealing and who is not stealing. Just take it and don't. Well, the Bible says Jesus himself did not baptize. He did not baptize. But what they were saying, they took it as that Jesus arrogated an authority to himself that John had. Even the John the Baptist, they did not believe. Your enemies won't always get their facts right. Please, if you want to profit in your ministry, don't listen to the noise of the market. If you want to profit in your assignment, if God gave you a great assignment, a ministry, maybe to minister to people who are less privileged, or to minister to people who have a particular condition, or to minister to a particular set of people, whatever it is, don't listen to the noise of the market. They got it wrong with Jesus, they will get it wrong with you. If you allow what they say to discourage you, you will never start, and you will not profit. Then in the parable of sower and the seed, there was a particular set of people who grew up as a seed and they were choked. You see, you have to choose your association very carefully. You have to choose your association. The moment the enemy gets you in a tight corner, you will become unfruitful. And God doesn't want you to. God chose you out of so many people for that assignment because you are qualified. Now, let me also say this, also read from that second verse. The scripture says Jesus did not baptize, but his disciples did. Please write this down and write it carefully. Your assignment may sometimes involve doing certain things that are not in your core assignments. Or how do I put this now? They are not in your core function. The assignment God gave to you may involve doing something that may not really be the main thing you should be doing. You can write it in your words, but it will be permissible for a time. For instance, Jesus was not supposed to be a carpenter. He was here to be our Savior. But the path he had to tread, required him to, first of all, submit to that kind of life. I used to work in the bank, and most people do not know this, that by the time I got into the bank, apart from Mr. Bean, that guy who does comedy, I didn't know any person more reckless than myself. Though he is making billions with his own, nobody's paying me nothing. People just like that, Pastor, you are very funny. My mates are making money in dollars in the US by being funny. I was so reckless, I was so sanguine, I was just a hopeless sanguine, you know, if there's anything like that. I was so terrible. Now, every time I would pray, way back then, I would pray and I would ask the Lord, say, I have a purpose for you. I'm going to use you in this land. You're going to have prophetic ministry. You know, every time God talks to me, it's like it's funny. Every time God talks to me, it's like it's funny. You know, everything, there's always a joke in everything. So God, if God told me, I don't like you to be laughing. I don't like the way you laugh every time I'm talking. It would not have made sense. So what God did was he pushed me to the bank. And within the first 2 months, I had massive shortages. They gave me query upon query. I was getting one query per day. You know? It got to a point I became afraid of my office. Every time I see the signboard, I'll begin to shake. Because I don't know the kind of shortage we are going to have here from. And the shortages are always rising. From 5,000 to 10,000 to 20,000 to 30,000. The moment I hit 60,000, I knew there was a problem. There was a problem. Like, this guy, you are finished. 60,000 as at then. It's not my mind. I knew there was a problem. So I became very calm. I'm very gentle. When I'm coming, I'm sanctimonious. People think I'm praying. I'm afraid. I'm scared, like, oh my God, what am I going to do today? All those, you should smile to your customer, it's not for people like me. Because when I smile at you, I can overpay you. it was a terrible thing. So what God did was he exposed me to an environment that didn't encourage my sanguine nature. And God used the banking system to trim and clip my wings. Okay? So it was something I needed for the moment. It was something like that, just like some of you now. Everywhere you've been, some of you have never had a pastor who corrected you. Some of you, even your parents don't correct you. Anything you say, they take, they accept. So God, before God releases you into your destiny, he will give you a difficult boss. He will allow you to do something that belittles you. You know, I'm talking about profiting in your assignment, because people think that you will do well simply because you God told you, my son, go and start a church, or my son, go and start this other thing, my son, start an orphanage, my son, begin to do this or that. It's just because you heard it. Doesn't mean anything. These are the places the devil will wait for you, wait for me, to make us unfruitful. Jesus had to learn how to attend to customers. Jesus had to learn accurate measurement. When you are measuring, because a carpenter in those days was actually like a building contractor, not just making tables and chairs, was like a building. So he had to learn how to measure accurately and not cheat his client, his customers. Jesus, before he became our Lord and Savior, had to say, yes, sir, to a customer. I don't know if anybody is hearing what I'm saying now. Jesus had to learn. I mean, he knew he was the Son of God, but he had to learn it, because if you don't have a certain requirement of humility, it doesn't matter how glorious what God said is, you will not profit. You become barren. You become spiritually barren. Oh my God. I don't know. Somebody is not feeling this message. This message, I'm not hearing hallelujah. I'm not hearing screaming and, you know. But if you come on Friday, I promise you, it's going to be a prophetic prayer meeting. You get something. So, this is very, very important. Be sensitive to identify those temporary bus stops that God will allow you, you know, settle for a while. Because those things are very critical to your fruitfulness, to your profiteering. When the Lord comes, he's going to ask you, I gave you 5 talents. What did you get out of it? It won't be, oh, my daughter, oh, I missed you. I like the way you used to sing to me. No. Nobody's going to talk about your dancing skills. Nobody's going to talk about your crying skills, because some people are specialized criers. You know, some like to dance. Okay? So God, nobody's going to talk about that. What God is going to talk about is, okay, let's say you are married to a pastor. I gave you my servant and I told you to work with him and protect him. What did you do? So it's going to be a conversation. Then when you say, oh, master, you gave me 3 talents, I got 6. That is when they will now say, well done, good and faithful. Come into the what? Into the come into the comfort of your master. You won't say it when you just see him and start dancing. Before you dance, let's check your record. So I'm saying this so that everybody puts at the back of his mind that we will not all be equal when Jesus comes. Some people would have won so many souls. Some people would have served the Lord in their local churches with all their heart. Some people would have done great things that nobody knew. When he comes, he's going to look at it and say, oh, I gave you 5 talents and you have 10. You've made 5 more. Come into the joy of the Lord. But you will not achieve that level of fruitfulness if you do not appreciate some of those temporary bus stops where God uses those situations to perfect your character. Hallelujah. God may ask you to go back to school. God may ask you to go and, you know, submit to a pastor. God may ask you to do certain things. That's why personally, I have very little regard for people who are not committed in a local assembly. Very little regard. Wherever you are, you should be committed in a church. I have very little regard. And I'm just following the Bible. Because a person without commitment to a local church is a loose cannon. If it breaks out, nobody can hold it back. You know, but when God wanted to correct the church in Ephesus, he sent their pastor to them. So if you don't have a pastor, who do we send to you? Now, go take down this point. Jesus stood up and went to Samaria. In order to be fruitful in your assignment, you must identify where you are needed. Don't try to be God in everybody's life. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be a man of God to everybody. Some people don't give a hoot about you. Some people don't even bother if you've rested. Some people don't bother if you've eaten. They just want you to solve their problems. In those days when I was in the bank, some customers would call you 11 p.m., 12 p.m. when you are supposedly asleep. How do I check your account balance or your statement from where I am? You know? You must understand those to identify where you are needed. There is always somewhere. And people miss this location issue. People miss this location issue. They think it doesn't matter. They don't talk about it. I mean, they don't do something. I mean, there was a particular guy that relocated to Dubai only to get arrested at the airport. He was looking for greener pastures, but met prison pasture. He met prison pasture, and this is not like prison outbreak. When they put you in that Dubai cell, you are not coming out. There is somewhere you are needed. You can't be in someone's life, whether you're in a relationship or not. You keep having conflict. Please deal with it. You didn't hear God. Get out. You didn't hear God. And also don't go into a relationship and get yourself into big problem and you are now asking God, should I leave? Did I ask you to go in the first place? Why don't you, if I you jump out as fast as you can. There is somewhere Jesus was going to meet a woman who was a professional prostitute. She had 5 husbands and she was with a 6th who was not even her husband. But Jesus knew she was in Samaria. He said he must need go to Samaria. That means that there are certain things God will require of you. If you are not sensitive in the Holy Spirit, you will be acting an old script. You will not know God has moved. God mandated the son to go to Samaria because of a woman. And because he obeyed, that woman gave Jesus a city. Come on now. If Jesus had done a crusade there, he would not have gotten that result. People need to understand this thing. There is somewhere God wants you to be part-time. Part-time. Find that place. Settle there. Very, very important. Because some of these little things are, you know, it's just like they affect your productivity, affect your fruitfulness. You are trying to grow. It's like trying to grow apple in Ibadan, you know, trying to grow apple in Osun State, instead of growing cocoa and palm tree or palm water. You know, these things are very basic. We know them in terms of agricultural science, but we don't really apply them in spiritual things. There is somewhere God wants you to be. And it is important for you because your effectiveness and fruitfulness will be tied to that location. Come on, if you are there and you're feeling me, say, I hear you. Say, I hear you. Say, I hear you. Just type it. Because look, let me tell you something. The day I became concerned was when the Lord told me that most of his children eventually will remain spectators. And I became very, very concerned. The Lord told me that if we are not careful, most of us will remain spectators. You will just be on the stand shouting, Ronaldo, Ronaldo, Ronaldo. Because there are always very few people making things happen. Every other person in that football field, they are just spectators. They are not really doing anything. They are clapping. But the reward goes to those who played. The reward goes to those who played. Don't put yourself in a position where you are excited when you are being served. It is time for you to serve others. Don't be excited about it. Yes, we'll serve you, but you are also going to serve. You are going to help us minister to other people. I was surprised. Some of you know this man of God in Singapore, Joseph Prince, right? Joseph Prince. I mean, I believe some of us know Joseph Prince here. He always preaches about grace. But I was surprised the day Joseph Prince said he never cancels a woman or a young lady that comes to his church. He doesn't do it. You will say, someone that preaches grace, he loves people, he's always there. He said, no, I don't do it. We have women in this church. We have women who are ministers. They are anointed. If you say, no, I must see Pastor Benga, say, no, go and meet the ladies in church who are ministers. That man of God said, if you don't agree, you can leave the church. Mm. You can leave the church. He said, I don't care. Because I don't want to expose myself. He's preaching grace. So he's preaching grace. And he's behaving like a Deeper Life member. That's the Joseph Prince that many of you see. You like the way he dresses. He wears boots. Wears a jacket. Very expensive jacket. He says he doesn't cancel women. Know where you are sent. Stay there. He wears leather jacket. Very sharp guy. He says he doesn't have anointing to cancel women. Go to my wife, go to Pastor Agnes, go to every other person. If you don't like them, go to another place. I don't want to die. Know where you are sent. Now, when you get to where you are sent, that place becomes the primary point of impact. That place where God has sent you becomes the primary point of impact. And this is so important. It is important for us to know where God has asked us to go. And who we should talk to. Because in that place, God only sent Jesus to one woman. He sent her to one woman. The woman brought the city and then Jesus did what he had to do. There's always a son of consolation. When you are in the place God has sent you, there is always somebody that he will say, my God tells you, my daughter, go and apply in so-so office. He said, go to that office. There will be somebody waiting there that God will use to assist you. But you have insisted on working in a, let me not mention any name. I mean, you don't, people get into trouble, hurt themselves spiritually, put themselves into depression, and they say, oh God, where's your face? I didn't send you there. God sent his son to a city and to a woman, a specific person. There's always a son of consolation somewhere. Hallelujah. That person the Lord says to you is your first fruit. It's your first fruit. And believe me, you may not know it, but a lot of people actually believe in you. The problem is that you are expecting people who don't believe in you to believe in you. There are some people you knew when you were on campus. There are some people you knew in the area where you grew up, and you expected that those people will believe you and go with you. Meanwhile, God has given you a son of consolation elsewhere. When we're going to start Harvest World Assembly, it was a lady I met through another pastor that we were just getting close, that told me verbatim, I'm going with you as we start that church. That I didn't even say anything to her. Like, oh, well, we want to start now, come. No, she didn't tell me, she told the other pastor, I'll be attending. I'm telling this because I've seen it happen both personally and in other people's life. Some of the people you think they will support you, they will never support you. Even when you say you are starting a business and you are selling something, friends and family only buy once. They buy emotionally to support you. After that, you're on your own. Find your first fruit. Find that person. Don't waste your time with everybody. You will not be fruitful that way. You will not get to where God wants you to get to if you keep waiting for validation from people that know you, from people that have been with you, from people you expect that they should know, they should support you and should believe in you. Most people who will believe in you may not even be people who knew you initially. Now, I want to drop this final point so I can close, but I hope that's not all, but I hope I can stop here. When Jesus... And please listen to this. When Jesus saw that woman, Pastor Ego, when Jesus saw that woman at the well, he said something to her. He said, give me water. Many people have passed through many waters and high hills to get to the point where they are supposed to, their destiny is supposed to matter, and they lack proper engagement. Jesus knew how to engage a woman. Jesus knew how to engage a prostitute. He didn't say to her, you sinner on the way to hell, you ragamuffin, you condemned sinner, your name. Jesus didn't assault her. Jesus engaged her. After you have obeyed all these rules, in order for you to profit in your ministry, in your assignment, you must learn the power of proper engagement. You must learn how to engage with people. You must learn how to speak to them at their level. You must learn how to relate with them at their level. You must learn how to connect with people. Don't just expect people to connect with you. You know, like my boss used to say, that understanding is a two-way traffic. It's not your boss needs to understand you, and you need to understand your boss. Don't just sit down there and say, somebody said, I'm sick. If you are sick, is your boss supposed to know you are sick? If you are sick, you should say something to your boss and say, look, sir, I'm not feeling too fine today. Sir, they won't put a lot of workload on you. Communication is very important. Jesus saw that woman and he engaged her. He said he knew he didn't have a cup of water, but he said, give me water to drink. The same thing happened when they were going to get a spouse for Isaac. The man that the father said went to the well. When you are telling people things like, give me, it's as if you want to propose to them, you want to toast them. Jesus understood that the only language that woman knew was the language of love, the language of seduction, the language of abuse. So Jesus mirrored that, except that this time Jesus was here to save her. Give me a cup of water. Give me to drink. And the conversation started. Don't go all that distance for your destiny only to mess everything up with terrible engagement. You need to learn, we all need to learn how to engage with people. We need to learn how to engage with people. We need to learn how to connect with people. Don't shut down anybody and say, you sinner on the way to hell. Nobody's going to leave. Nobody, we already know we're on our way to hell, so we don't need to follow your Jesus. Let's just go there and dance with Michael Jackson. Go all the way. Go all the way. Let every soul. And listen to me. No matter what you say, it is your passion, your skill, your talent. Every God-given assignment has a soul tag to it. Has a tag for souls. Every destiny, every so-called, in quote, assignment. This is my passion. This is my purpose. Whatever coloration you give to it must have souls attached to it. If not, it is not God. What I said now, we zeroize it for many of those who say, oh, I have a mission, I have a passion, and they don't have anything. So the God calling you is not an opportunity for you to blow. And that's why you have so many Christian musicians. They give you music you can dance to, but the music can't bring you into God's presence. Because some people just want to use God as a platform to be popular. Jesus had the right engagement. Jesus was able to connect with her. Jesus was able to address her sin. without making her feel less of herself. At the end of the day, that assignment given to Jesus that day had only one objective: get that woman on the right side. That's all. That, Pastor Ego, that's what God was saying. Get that woman on the right side. If Jesus had done any other thing apart from get that woman to the right side, it would not have mattered. Eventually, that woman, a new convert, gave Jesus an entire city. Do you know what your destiny is worth to God? Do you understand that even though you may think you are young or you can't do much, do you understand that God could actually use you as a powerful weapon to change the life of cities? Maybe you are, I'm talking to another young Gicho. You may be a woman, but you may be another young Gicho. You are responsible for over a billion souls. I hope you know that that 600,000 congregation, that was one church. He had other churches that had 250, 50,000, 70,000. One man's life valued for close to a billion souls who came to Christ. Is it possible that you are one of such people? Is it possible that I'm talking to somebody today who, like Jesus, will go to the well and get those impossible people into God's house? Is it possible that before the end of this year we can profit in our assignment? Is it possible that before the end of this year each and every one of us can still win 10 or 15 or 20 souls each individually to the Lord before the end of this year? Is it possible that those listening to me tonight can be used by God to reduce the population on the way to hell and bring them onto the side of God's love? Is it possible that God can find 10 people tonight who will tell themselves from today, I will profit in my assignment? The scripture said he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That means that the task of soul winning is no more in the hands of Jesus. It's in the hands of everyone listening to me right now. Is it possible that I can do better? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the release of your word. And I thank you, Lord, because your word goes for great power. I ask that, Lord, you will bypass the limitations of this flesh, and you will communicate your word with greater and deeper accuracy in the hearts of your people. That out of this meeting tonight, you will cause many evangelists to rise. You will cause many men like Young Gicho to rise. You will cause many who will go into their offices, who will go into their businesses, who will go into their sphere of influence, and will begin to do that which you have committed into their hands. And we thank you, Father, for grace that is being released to be effective. We thank you for grace that has been released to be disciples. We thank you, Lord, for grace that has been released to do all that you have asked us to do. And we thank you, Father, for the release of the anointing, because we know that as we speak your word, you will confirm the words with signs and wonders following. And we thank you, Father, because before the end of this year, you will cause you to be joyful as we bring many souls into the house of our Father. Jesus said, and he was teaching us, and he said that there are many that are not yet here. I have to go out and get them. And you are going to do it through us. And I pray for every heart tonight, as they listen and as they embrace this word, that, Lord, you will cause these words to burn in their bones like fire. And you will cause us to become fruitful, bringing unto the kingdom souls and harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' mighty name.